Dave Calloway, Stacey Cole, 8:13 now. Right now, standing by is somebody that, Stacey, you shaking a little bit yet?
Oh, just, you know, I hate to sound like such a dork, but yeah, I told her off air I'm starstruck.
But it's okay to be a dork in this case.
Okay, I'm going to be a dork. We have Melissa Anderson, and I have to tell you, I've been calling you Melissa Sue Anderson because that's what you were on the credits on Little House on the Prairie.
Well, you're right. Someone else had my name. That was, you know, another actress in Screen Actors Guild had my Melissa Anderson name that I, of course, went to school with and everything and used, and that was going to be my professional. It was my professional name. I think I even used it on the Brady Bunch. I think I was Melissa Anderson, I think.
Oh. But
when this happened, she had the name first, so I had to put my middle name in. The only reason I didn't want to do it is it makes it kind of long, and also it makes me sound like I'm from the South, which there's nothing wrong with that, but.
But you're not.
Right.
But I'm not. So anyway, I was glad to, you know, finally get my, many, many years later, but get my name back.
Wow.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Now, actress, Melissa Anderson, you'll know her from Little House on the Prairie, of course, as Mary. And this, you have a book out that does it sort of start from Little House on the Prairie, work up until now, or can you kind of describe the layout?
Yes, it kind of does actually. It's me looking back and I go through some episodes that were kind of interesting to me, not always favorites of mine, but that were interesting for one reason or another, and some of my favorites, and I kind of tell the stories from my perspective. And also I've been getting comments from people that they really like being, they feel like they're there, and that's what I wanted. I wanted them to feel like they were behind the scenes, that they were, you know, they kind of learn how it worked, and especially from a child's perspective at that time. So it's kind of interesting, I think, and it does. It starts with me auditioning for Little House, and it goes all the way through my life to now, but but it obviously doesn't cover completely everything, or it would be, you know, War and Peace. But and it's not that I'm not that interesting, thank you very much. But it catches the highlights of my life to now. Yes.
So when we talked to Melissa Gilbert a couple months ago, maybe a couple weeks, her experience on Little House on the Prairie was very positive. That the environment was very nurturing. Michael Landon was nurturing. Did you have that same experience?
I did. You know, people always used to ask, were we like a family? And I can't say that we were, and most shows are not. It's quite unusual to be that way because you're really kind of plucked from all different, areas. You know, each individual actor is so different, usually, that you're really not like a family, but you come together as, you know, good friends and come together and do a good job. And so I think we did a good job because people thought we were, you know, they believed that we were a family, so that was good. And it was a nice experience. The set was, you know, calm, and the crew was great. And they tried to pretty much, quite a bit, I would say, protect the kids from, you know, really bad language and things like that, you know. So it was a nice, you know, experience growing up.
Well, now you're going to be remembered on that show, you know, as being the blind sister. But you didn't start out that way, right?
Thank goodness, no.
Yeah.
No, I was blind long enough. I have a chapter in my book called "I Was a Blind Pioneer," and you thought you had problems.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Because really, it was a great experience when it first happened. You know, the ratings for our show went to number 2 the first week and number 1 the second week, and we'd never ever had ratings like that. And I was nominated for that for an Emmy. It was just, you know, it was wonderful. But you know, once a character is stricken in a way, you know, in something like, you know, with something like that, and especially in the era in which we were set, it makes it very, very difficult to write anything believable that I could do. So that's why there were so many tragedies. It became sort of like a soap opera. I had, you know, one horrible tragedy after another, and then they would have me in scenes just for audience recognition, just to show that I'm still alive, you know, and scenes that I shouldn't be in, like at a circus,
right?
With no dialogue at all, just sitting there. I'm thinking, why am I here, and why don't I even say anything?
Yeah.
So it was very difficult.
Did writers ever think back, you know, because like you said, then it there were some limitations that went along with all of a sudden your character's blind. Did they ever think, gosh, why did we go that way? You know?
Well, you know, I think they felt that they had to because it actually happened to the real person.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But, you know, otherwise we didn't really stay close to the books because we couldn't have made a series week to week doing that because the books, it would have been too simplistic. It wouldn't, you know, there wouldn't have been enough meat to the show.
Sure.
So, like, they added earlier on my character getting glasses. And that was the audience just loved that. That never happened. But that kind of led up, you know, it was kind of opening the door and leading up to me, the character, Mary going blind. So I think they felt that they had to, but it was a big step. I never, most characters in shows, you know, get their sight back or, you know, are able to, you know, walk again or something, but I was just blind. So it was, that's why I left the show, before anyone else. Well, I left and then the show was canceled eventually, but I just, you know, I, after my 7 years and two shows, the eighth season I was contracted to do, I left because I just couldn't, artistically it was just too stifling. And
so you were spent.
Yeah.
I was, that's the word.
Now, were you frustrated that they chose your on screen husband to regain his sight? I mean, was that frustrating for you that it should have been you?
Well, it couldn't have been me because it didn't happen in, you know, that if they make me blind like the real person, then they couldn't have me get my sight back.
So they couldn't stray that far from the book.
They couldn't do that, no. But no, I was happy for him, and I thought, well, maybe it will open things up for us a little bit. But again, we had still a bit of constraint with the period of the show. But you know, he was a lawyer, had become a lawyer and got his sight back and became a lawyer. So we could have maybe done some traveling, they could have done some stuff with us. And they didn't really. I wish they had. I think at that point they were focusing a lot on the replacement for Nelly, the replacements for us almost. They brought in this character Cassandra,
yes,
who was sort of a Laura, you know. And anyway, they were focusing a lot on the younger, bringing in new kids and things, and trying to get the audience. The show was sort of floundering at that point. And you know, instead of, I believed we should have just gone out on top, but they didn't. They didn't do that. So I think they maybe, you know, they wanted to focus on the younger kids and try to start over. But you know, it left Linwood and I sort of, you know, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
yeah. What a shame.
Yeah, you know, and Melissa, I know you probably have a story. We'll see. I'm gonna listen for beeps here,
right,
Stace, because I know they're gonna cut us off here in just a second. But Melissa, any stories that you can give us, a good one about Michael Landon from back in the day?
Oh,
that you
well,
remember.
Well, I mean, you know, there's many stories. He was a very complex guy. I mean, he wasn't, he was a terrific guy, and he had a huge heart, but he was very insecure, and, you know, he was, could be very difficult for us to work with, at times. But, you know, overall, he was zany and silly and funny, and his issues really just came from insecurity, but you know, I think the most shocking for a lot of people, although you've kind of heard snippets of this maybe in tabloids, but is, you know, when I walked into a big prop truck to get a tab one day out of the cooler and saw him smoking a joint.
You know? Wow.
I mean, my jaw dropped. I was 18 by then, but really, my jaw dropped. I was just flabbergasted. So.
Sure, you know,
Michael Landon smoking a doobie.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah, and I just never expected that. You know, somehow I just
wow.
Amazing. There you go. You know, and then you put the suspenders on, the hat back on, and you get back on the set
and back to work he went. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And roll them. Oh, funny man.
Yeah.
Well, the book, which is out, is Melissa Anderson's book, Little House on the Prairie, and you've got to. It's a look back on my life, Little House on the Prairie, and best of luck with this. It's just great getting a chance to talk stories with you.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Melissa. Take care.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's Melissa Anderson from Little House on the Prairie, and, you know, you always wonder about that behind-the-curtain stuff. Because every so often you get a story like that.
You know what? I had no idea that Landon did that.
Never knew that.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and different angle on the whole experience.
Wow.
It seems like than Melissa Gilbert had.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah, for real. That's Melissa Anderson right there from Little House on the Prairie.